Well, we are standing on holy ground this morning because God is present here with us. And what a blessing to be able to come together to express our love for God together. That's why we come together, to express our love for God through our worship, through our prayers, through our fellowship one with another. So good to see everyone here this morning. I want to encourage you, every time we have opportunity to be together to express our love, that you are here. And that you encourage others that you don't see here, that you, man, what a thing that they're missing out on. To encourage one another, to build one another up, to be here to express our love together in our worship. I want to encourage you all to be a part of our Bible classes. This is a great time for us to love God and to love others. You know, we have our class here on Sunday morning before worship, and then our Wednesday night class. We're having a great time being together, encouraging each other, looking at God's Word, orienting ourselves around God's will for our lives, and also opportunities for us to love and minister one to another. Good day to be here for many reasons, but today is our potluck, and I want to encourage you all to stay for that, and there should be plenty of food and a great time for us to fellowship one with another. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into God's Word. Father God, you are so good to us, so good to be together with your body of Christians here to express our love for you. God, I pray that we can take to heart the words of the song that we just said, that this is holy ground, that God, you are here. And may we lay everything down at your feet to be able to receive the blessings of being in your presence. Thank you for your body here as we get to love each other, encourage each other during this time. God, may your word speak to us. May we be drawn to you. May we desire to pursue you more this day and each day of our lives. Thank you for this time together. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we've been looking at some of the great men and women of faith and their responses to the great I Am, God being the I Am. We looked several weeks back about Naomi and her great love that she expressed to her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and how she, out of her love, Ruth was loved into a relationship with the Lord. And she was given the freedom to choose. And she made a great confession to Naomi saying, "Don't urge me to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God." We looked a few weeks ago about the life of Abraham, how by faith, when he was called to go to a new land, he obeyed and went. But it wasn't until he sacrificed or was willing to sacrifice his son Did God know that he was faithful, that he was obedient to him. He says, "Now I know you fear God." Last week we looked at the life of Jacob. And Jacob was allowed to struggle. He was allowed to wrestle with the Lord. And he was blessed because he struggled with God and men and was not overcome. And I hope that you've been encouraged by how these men and women have responded to the Lord, and that you've been encouraged to respond in some of the same ways. To be encouraged to confess again and again, "God, you are my God. Where you go, I will go. That God, I will be with you. That God, I will be willing to sacrifice anything for you. Here I am. I am your servant. You are the Lord. I will do and I will go where you want me to do and where you want me to go. And God, yes, sometimes I struggle, but thank you for allowing me to struggle. And let me not, as much as I wrestle with things in my life and things come at me, I will not let go of you, knowing you will not let go of me. You will not give up on me. You allow me to struggle and to know that I'm in your mighty arms, your arms of love that's big enough to handle all of my rowdiness, all of my questions, all of my doubts." And I hope that you've been able to see yourself and respond in the same way as those who have gone before us have responded. We're going to go back to the story of Moses. We started off in a series about God revealing himself and saying, "I am," telling the people and telling Moses who he is. And by making that promise we looked at, saying, "I will be with you." But now I want to look at that story from the bush with Moses. On Moses' side, from the side that he responds to God when God calls his name, and when Moses says, "Here I am." Well, the story starts in Exodus chapter 1. The Israelites were living in Egypt, and they had greatly increased in number. Now, their growth in numbers began to terrify and worry the Pharaoh, the king of the land. Well, the Israelite nations living amongst them, they didn't worship the Pharaoh. They didn't worship the king of Egypt. They worshiped Yahweh. And that also terrified Pharaoh, thinking if these people get big enough, if they get strong enough, they could overpower us. They're committed to their God, and they're committed to their people, that if they start thinking about where they are, they might think to take over us. So he begins to oppress them. And he makes them, the Israelites, his slaves. Forces them to serve as his slaves, to work his fields and to build his cities. And he even gets even more terrified and makes a horrible plan to limit the growth of the Israelite nation by telling all the Hebrew midwives to kill all the baby boys that are born. Well, the midwives, praise the Lord, the midwives, they were fearful more of the Lord, the God that they served, more than they were of Pharaoh. So they did not obey the Pharaoh. They did not kill the baby boys. And the Lord blesses them for their devotion because their fear was in the Lord and not in the fear of the king of the land. Exodus 2, now we see the birth of Moses. In fear, Moses' parents decided, let's, in fear of the Pharaoh, because the babies are going to be, it says not to be killed. See, that he couldn't trust the Hebrew midwives, so he says, if you see these babies, throw them in the river. Let's get rid of them. Well, so Moses' parents decides to hide him for 3 months. Now, I don't know how you can hide a baby for 3 months and not be found out. They were the best hide-and-go-seekers you could ever imagine. You would never find them. They didn't find that baby for 3 months. You know, he wins the prize. His parents hit the prize. And so for 3 months, though, they kept him quiet. But when his mother could no longer hide him, she puts him in a basket and floats him down the Nile River. Well, she was watching, seeing what was going to happen, and he was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter who happened to be bathing. And the daughter takes the baby in and wants to find a midwife, someone to nurse and take care of this Hebrew baby. And lo and behold, Moses' mother was nearby, and she was able to nurse her son while living under Pharaoh's household. And when he was nursed and he was raised, they gave the son to Pharaoh's daughter to be raised as an Egyptian. We get a little bit of this story accounted here in Exodus. And also Stephen in Acts chapter 7, he also, as he's retelling before the Sanhedrin some of the events of the history of the Israelite nation, he gives a little bit more details of some of the things that happened also along with the account that we have in Exodus. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, it says, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and in action. So he was raised as an Egyptian, knowing the Egyptian ways. He walked the Egyptian walk and talked the Egyptian talk. He walked like an Egyptian. And he spoke like an Egyptian, and he knew he was an Egyptian. But in his heart, he was a Hebrew. He knew who he was. His mother raised him. So he was an Egyptian. He walked and talked. He was educated and had the wisdom of an Egyptian. Exodus 2:11, it says, one day after Moses was grown up, he went down to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. Well, one day when he was grown up, how long is that? How long did it take for someone to be grown up? Well, we don't get the numbers here in Exodus, so we go back to the account in Stephen's account in 7:21. Acts 7:21 says, when Moses was 40 years old. It takes 40 years old to be grown up. 40 years old, he decides to visit his fellow Israelites. Boy, I'm not even there yet. I'm almost there. I'm just a little buck. I'm just 38 years old and almost grown up. Well, 40 years, that's a lot of time to be an Egyptian. He was an Egyptian outwardly, but inwardly he says, no, I want to decide to visit my people, my fellow Israelites. And in Exodus 2, he watched them work. He witnessed their forced labor, and he saw one of his fellow Hebrews being beaten by an Egyptian. And he glances this way and that way because he's afraid. He's fearful of the Pharaoh, killing one of Pharaoh's servants is like killing Pharaoh himself. He was afraid of the Pharaoh, not wanting to be caught. Pharaoh's not around. No one is watching. And he takes things into his own hands, and kills the Egyptian who's beating one of his people. Well, in Acts 7:22, it says, Stephen's account says, Moses thought his own people, well, who is his people? He's raised an Egyptian. His people are the Hebrews. Which are his people? He thought, I'm a Hebrew. I look like an Egyptian, but I'm a Hebrew. My people will realize that God was using him to recognize them. But no, he didn't look like a Hebrew. He didn't talk like a Hebrew. He was an Egyptian. And so when they saw him kill the Egyptian, he saw an Egyptian kill an Egyptian. That makes sense? They didn't see a Hebrew, but he was thinking, I'm a Hebrew. I'm stepping out. I'm going to save my people. God's going to use me here. See, he had confidence in himself, thinking, I'm going to be their deliverer. I'm going to take charge here. But he was confused about who he was and what God would have him do. He's thinking, God's people's being mistreated. I'm one of God's people. I'm going to take action. And he's conflicted on how to cause the change for good in this land. Well, then he sees two Hebrews fighting, and he steps in. Well, here's two of my own people. I'm going to step in again. I'm a Hebrew. I know I'm a Hebrew. And they respond to him, who made you ruler over us? Who made you judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Oh, no. I've been found out. People know what I've done. The Pharaoh finds out about him. And finds out about the murder that he committed against one of the fellow Egyptians. And now Pharaoh wants to kill Moses. Well, Moses, in fear of Pharaoh, flees to Midian. In Midian, he meets seven daughters of the priest of Midian. They're out watering their flock at a well, and Moses rescues them from a hand of some shady shepherds. There's some shepherds that were seeing these women taking these sheep to get water, and they were overpowering them. And Moses steps in, he protects them, and he takes action there. The girls return home. He tells their father, an Egyptian. Now look at how he's being identified. Look at how they're seeing him. I'm a Hebrew. No, I look like an Egyptian, but I'm a Hebrew, and I try to take action. Now I'm going to be killed by the Pharaoh. I'm going to get out of here. And he goes to a new place. And they see him as an Egyptian. They say this Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds and even drew water for us and watered the flock. See, Moses had an identity crisis. He had a big identity crisis. He knew that by birth he was a Hebrew, but yet for 40 years he was raised and trained to act and live like an Egyptian. He was even recognized, and when people saw him, they would think, Egyptian, Egyptian, even though he thought he was a Hebrew. He wanted to be identified as a Hebrew, but yet he appeared to be an Egyptian. Well, so in this land of Midian, he rescues those seven daughters, and one of the seven daughters' father allowed him to marry one of them. And he marries the daughter named Zipporah. And she has a son named Gershom. And this Gershom means, again, identifying Moses' identity as he sees himself, I have become an alien in a foreign land. I don't know who I am. I'm an alien, and I'm not even a land that I know. His identity is unknown. In Exodus 2:23, it says, again, during a long period, the king of Egypt died. Well, how long is that? Exodus just says a long time. Go to the Stephen's account. They remember the story as in Acts 7:30, after 40 years. So he had 40 years of being raised as an Egyptian. He gets away. Now he's 40 years. Who is he? Is he a Hebrew? Is he an Egyptian? Is he an alien? Is he a stranger? Is he a murderer? Is he one of God's people? Or is he not? Now we get to Exodus chapter 3. At the ripe age of 80 years old, the Lord gets Moses' attention. And now we have our text here, Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was not on fire, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. So 40 years living as an alien in a foreign land, unknown, identity crisis, just a mess. He sees a fire in a field. He's the shepherd. Fire is not good in a field. It could burn up all the fields that his sheep needs to eat. The fire is not good, so he gets his attention caught. He goes to see this fire, and he sees that it's on a bush. Hey, the bush is on fire, but yet it looks like it's on fire, but it's not really burning up. I see the smoke, but I don't see, it's just an odd thing that's happening. And so God gets his attention, gets him to this bush. And then in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over and looked, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Alarming. A voice calls out. He's got his attention, and now he hears a voice calls out, and he's all ears and all eyes, looking, wondering. It's alarming. I mean, it'd be alarming to be out in the middle of a field that you've been for 40 years. You know who's in your territory. You know who's in your land. You see a strange sight. You go look at it. Now you hear a voice, and it's your name being called. And Moses responds, here I am. Well, who is he? For him to say, here I am. He didn't even know who he was. But he says, whoever I am, here I am. Not really sure of who he was. Not really sure maybe of who was even calling him or who God even was at this point in his life. And the Lord identifies himself to Moses. Verse 5. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. He wakes Moses up. Moses was dazed and confused about who he even was. Confused about, for the last 40 years, knowing who am I? I'm an alien of foreign land. I think I'm a Hebrew. I act like an Egyptian. I don't know who I am. And he wakes him up. And he needs to change Moses' position. And he needs to re-identify himself and adjust Moses' perspective. Before Moses can even figure out who he is, Moses has got to know who God is. Because only then could Moses begin to understand who he was. And God knew, poor little Moses is all confused and all messed up. I got to get down there. I got to let him know who I am. And it's interesting, the scene here of what the Lord says. He says, do not come any closer. Saying, Moses, stop. Stop right now. Don't even move. Don't think another thing. Don't come any closer. Don't try to figure this out. Because I know you don't have a clue who I am, because you don't know who you are. Stop right now. Then he says, take off your sandals. What? Take off your sandals. You need to get out of yourself. You need to remove yourself from your shoes. You need to separate yourself. You need to consecrate yourself. You need to set yourself apart to know, you know what, Moses, you're not in control. You're standing in feet and you're standing in shoes that you don't even know who you are. You're standing on your own two feet and God is saying, but I know who you are. Stop. Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals. And he says, because where you are standing is holy ground. See, Moses didn't even know who he was. He was in a foreign land. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know who he was. And God says, I am here. I am present. Where you are standing is holy. And guess what? Let me tell you who I am. I am the one. I am the God of your father, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is who I am. Have we done this today? Have we done this? Have we been impacted by Jesus in the same way? Just being here in this place, coming before God, you know, where is our fear? Is our fear in God? Is our fear in men? Do we know who we are? Are we conflicted about, am I this? Am I that? Where am I identified? Well, we can't understand who we are or what we should do or where we should go till we understand who God is. And we can't understand who God is until we stop. Don't move. Don't think. Don't act. And we can't know who God is till we separate ourselves. Get out of your shoes. Lay it all down. Drop it all at the door. Leave it all behind. I mean, even right now, let it all go. Stop thinking about what's next. Because really, we don't know. But God does. And you can't know until we know who God is. Separate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Take off everything that hinders. Take off your sandals. Because God is here. God is here. And when Moses recognized that God was here, he hid his face. He laid down and he was afraid to look at God. Now his fear was finally in the right place. He finally began to see God. He finally began to know a little bit about who God was. And in that position of fear, of identifying that you are God and I am not, the Lord knows that he has Moses in the right place. And now he says, Moses, I know you. I know you're a Hebrew. I know you care about your people. But guess what? I have seen the misery of my people. I have heard their cries. I am concerned. I have come to rescue them, and I have seen their oppression. You are not alone, my son. Moses, on his face, hearing all this, getting a clear understanding of who God is. God is telling him who he is, and now God says to him, now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. He's looking at you. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. Once you can see and know who God is, then God will say, now go. I'm sending you. But it's not until our identity is found in the Lord. And once Moses got his attention in check, got attended to who God is, and he hears all the things about God, God says, now go, I am sending you. And Moses' response is, well, who am I? He still didn't know. He still didn't get it. He got his attention. God identifies himself. Yes, I know my people. I know who you are. But Moses still responds, well, God, well, who am I? Because all he could see is himself. You know, when God calls you, and hopefully you're hearing God calling your name today, do you know who you are? See, Moses had an identity crisis. He doesn't still know. He doesn't still get it. You see, God sees you how you are. He knows your story. He knows your life. He knows your history. He knows your present struggles. He knows what's in your heart. And he knows you for who you really are. He knew who Moses really was. Even though he looked like an Egyptian, he knew he was one of his people. He knew on the outside he couldn't figure it out. He knew in inside where his heart and his desire and his faith and his goodness and his strength and his care and his concern really, really was in the deep, deep part of Moses' place. And then Moses' heart, even though Moses wasn't seeing it that way, even though he thought, I'm removing myself, I am a foreigner, I am an alien in a foreign land. God saw him for who he really was, and he sees him for who he will become. He sees the past, the present, and the future. And God, and Moses saw himself as an alien in a foreign land. He saw himself lost and confused. Am I Egyptian? Am I a Hebrew? Am I a murderer? Am I a fearful of God? Am I fearful of man? And God saw his servant Moses as a servant, saying, I see you how you are, and you're mine. And I'm going to use you. And I'm sending you. Yes, you, Moses. Yes, you, Moses. See, Moses had a confused image of God. He was confused about who God was. And sometimes we can get a confused image of God. You know, we can't see ourselves the way God sees us until we see God for who He is. You know, Moses saw God for who he thought He was. He was allowing his circumstances to affect his view of who God really was. He was allowing how God's people were being treated and putting that on how God really thinks and how involved He really is. See, we can change, but God is unchanged. We can get confused, but God is true. We need to be able to see God for who He is. But it's not until we stop, take off our sandals, know that we are on holy ground and God is here. And that God is with you. Moses asked about his own identity. Well, God, who am I? I've had it all wrong. I don't know who I am. And God answers him by saying not who he is, but God answers by telling him who I am. And Moses, once you know who I am, then you can find yourself in me and know that you are mine. God says, I will be with you. You tell those Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, has sent me to you. You tell those elders, the Lord, the God of your fathers, has appeared to you. You say, God says, tell them, I will make the Egyptians favorably. God says to him, I will give you signs. I will do the work. He says, this is who I am. And once you know who I am, then you can know who you are in me. Exodus 4:10. Poor Moses. Poor me. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. Moses was still only seeing himself in his own abilities, in his own way, not seeing how God could do anything good with this messed up, confused man. Verse 11, but God says to him, who gave his mouth? Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. He says, Moses, I made you. You're mine. And nothing's going to change that. Now go. I will be with you. I'll help you. You can't, but I can. You don't think you will, but I will use you. Moses says, send somebody else. God says, well, he gets a little angry here. Verse 14, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. He said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were in your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. He says, your brother will go with you. He will speak for you. I'll tell you what to say. But you know what? You're not off the hook. You're my man. Take the staff. You're performing the signs. You are mine. See, God sees us for how we are. God sees you for how you are and for who you are. God will provide, yes, others on the journey, like an Aaron at times, to help you in that calling to understand. Because sometimes, even if we say, yeah, okay, God, I see you and I know you and I hear you, but I'm still not quite seeing it the way you see it. And God help me with that. And that's where He provides church. That's where He provides people. That's where He provides brothers and sisters in Christ that we have to be by, or else we keep looking around. We're going to keep identifying ourselves with everything else but the One who created us. That's why we need each other, and God knows that. The church can help us find our identity in the Lord. The church can help you in fulfilling God's calling in His life, in your life. But we can't always see that until we see God for who He is. But God sees you for who you will become. God wants you to lead the lost, to lead the oppressed. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to serve others. And you'll do great things. You can't see it, but God sees it. He knows your past, He knows your present, and He has a future of doing things that are impossible, that are greater than you could ever imagine. God's calling you today. Hope that you've heard Him calling your name. He's calling you as you are, for who you are now, and who you will become. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to be identified with Him, and He wants you to see yourself as His dearly loved child. That's what you are. You may think, I'm not that. I know who I am. I'm not dearly and I'm not loved. Yes, you are. Because you're not seeing it the way God sees you. God sees you as His dearly loved child, saying, here I am. He wants you to say, here I am. I am your servant. I will do your will because I am your son. I am your daughter. You are my Father. Stop. Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. God is calling you. What is your response today? If you've been called by God in some way today, you have a response, you want to share about your identity, who you are, who you want to be, who you're not, who you'd like to be like, then share that today. If you want to be identified by your faith in Jesus and be sealed in the covenant of baptism this morning, please come and do that. If you want to be identified by your hope in Jesus, the living in the assurance of the resurrection, then come and share that. If you want to be identified by your love for the others, then come and share that this morning. This is holy ground. God is here, and we are here with you. Please come as we stand and sing.